This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Hat Jam, the podcast where each week sees a new artist put through their musical paces by playing the songwriting comfort zone eliminating game, which is Hat Jam. I'm your host, Cav Templey, from such places as Eskimo Joe, and this week we are joined by none other than Kevin Mitchell from Jebediah, a.k.a. Bob Evans.
Aloha. Thank you very much for having me on your podcast. I'm liking this, Cav.
Excellent. Yeah. And of course, we will also be joined this week by Studio Cat, who will be in the corner keeping time, enlightening us with musical facts as they come up, because that's handy. And of course, pressing pause. For those who are joining us for the first time, Hat Jam is a songwriting game where we ask artists or our guests to name two songs, which they then put into a hat. The songs usually are the name of an artist and an album. We then get them to draw each name out of the hat. The first name that they draw out is the name of the verse, and we write a song with those flavors, like a beautiful soup with those flavors in it. That's going to be our verse. And then the next name we draw out is our chorus. And if there's ever a moment in the podcast where, Kevin, you look at me and go, I don't know what to fucking do. We also have a wild card deck, which is filled with ideas that are designed to throw a spanner in the works of our songs.
Oh, okay.
No one has pulled a wild card yet. So,
really?
Yeah, so feel free.
Well, that's like waving a great big flag.
The musical gauntlet is thrown down. By the end of this episode, we would have completed a full song in the form of a scratch demo. And for those listening who don't know what a scratch demo is, it's kind of like the basic elements of a song that we record to get the blueprint of the song, but it's not the album version. Sometimes people release their scratch demos because, like PJ Harvey, I love her four-track demos.
Bruce Springsteen, Nebraska.
Exactly, yeah. Four-track demos. Yeah. There is a vibe in the four-track demo. So at the end of this show, we will have a song, but it won't have bells and whistles the way that you would listen to a shiny song on the radio. When did you feel like it was okay to call yourself a songwriter for the first time?
I think I was always very comfortable calling myself a songwriter before I even started a band, you know. When I was in high school and I was writing songs all through high school, I think the word that took me a long time to become comfortable with was using the word artist, because I was always anti the idea of an artist, especially like in the early years with Jebediah and stuff, and sort of tapping into more of a kind of punk rock sort of attitude and ethos, referring to yourself as an artist just seemed pretentious. And it took me a long time, probably, you know, a good more than 10 years of being a professional musician before I started to become comfortable with referring to myself as an artist, you know, and you know what I do is vaguely in the realm of art. I think that was the word that took me some time. Yeah.
When you write, and obviously you've written many songs, and you've had to kind of jump, you know, different outfits between, you know, like you when you're in Jebs, you write a certain kind of vibe, and when you're doing, you know, the Bob Evans thing, you know, you're kind of, you know, mining a different kind of well.
Yeah.
How do the ideas come for you? I mean, I really love that story. There's, you know, so many great stories, like Keith Richards writing the guitar riff to Satisfaction, and he apparently had like a little, you know, reel-to-reel tape recorder, and he woke up in the middle of the night and recorded it and then went to sleep, and he woke up and was like, "Oh my god, is that a dream?"
That's right.
And then he pressed play and it was there, and he's like, "Yes," but then he'd also forgot to press stop, so it's just him snoring for the next part of it all, which is so Keith. But when do you find the ideas come?
It's so random. It's so hit and miss I find us particularly lately, it's really inconsistent. But last year there was a morning after I dropped kids off and I came in here and in the space of a couple of hours, I wrote three songs that I think are all, you know, contenders to be on my next record. So it's really, really, it comes in fits and starts. But I do have a theory, which I guess kind of does play into the, you know, the coming up with stuff in your sleep, is that I come up with a lot of ideas when I'm doing things like showering, driving my car, walking, doing the dishes, because...
When it's least convenient. But...
No, I've got this theory, right, that because a lot of my songs start off in my head, are imagined, and then I go and work them out. Not all of my songs start with me sitting down with the guitar and go. Because I've got this theory that that when you engage in a activity that doesn't require any great brain power, you know, like driving a car or doing the dishes, so you're engaging your brain in this activity, and I find that that allows things to kind of sneak in through the back door. Like you're open to, there's a part of your mind that's open to your imagination and just things kind of just slipping in.
Mm.
But you have to be engaged in doing something really menial.
Like distracted almost.
That's right. Yeah. You need to distract yourself with something really menial.
Surprise!
Nothing that kind of takes up too much. Yeah, so chores around the house and stuff like that. So, yeah, I imagine, my imagination kind of like seems to let in a lot of melodic ideas and lyric ideas in those kind of times.
Kevin Mitchell, a.k.a. Bob Evans, are you ready to play... Hat Jam.
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
We've asked Kev to come in and bring two names of artists that he loves and songs that they've played. Now, your first name that you've picked to go into the hat, because, okay, by the way, every artist who does this puts their name, and they might not draw their name out, so
yeah, right,
you might pull out somebody else's name in there. Cool. Elbow, Lippy Kids. I love Elbow. They were a big influence on Eskies when we were doing our second record, A Song
Is
a City.
Okay.
But Lippy Kids, what record is that off?
It's off Build a Rocket Boys.
Okay, I don't know if I know that one. I was like, Cast of Thousands was my kind of big record.
Yeah,
for those
guys. This was the first Elbow record I really got into.
Is that their first record?
No, it's like, I think it came out in the late 2000s. I'm not sure. Actually, the CD's just up there on top of that speaker.
Hey. 4th of March,
2011. So, you know, they've made a few records before this one.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just a beautiful record. It's a real studio creation, you know. It sounds like a record that's been carefully crafted in a studio as opposed to a bunch of songs that have been written and then recorded,
So, Kev, do you want to chuck your first name into the hat?
Sure.
And then we shall read out the second name.
Oh,
Wilco, heavy metal drummer. Yeah. Wilco is, I could possibly say, is probably one of my biggest influences of all time. Why did you pick heavy metal drummer?
I think, look, there's a lot of things that I like about Wilco, but there's something, my go-to sort of with Wilco is often the upbeat stuff.
Mm.
And there's a real irreverence about this song that I really love. You know, I hear a lot of influence, like, I've never read any interviews where he said this, but to me it sounds like he must have listened to a lot of Pavement. I hear a lot of Pavement references, and because it's kind of, there's a slackness about it, just in attitude.
Yeah.
There's nothing slack about the quality of what's going on, but just the attitude of how it's kind of performed.
So Wilco, love it. I'm so glad there's some Wilco in the hat. And we will be putting pictures of the hat up on our Instagram/Facebook and all the rest of it. But this week, coming to you live from Kevin Mitchell's jam room, we have a beautiful hat. Can you explain it to anyone who's listening?
Well, it's one of my daughters. It's a pink helmet that she wears it when she rides her bike, but she roller skates.
Drum roll.
Here we go.
What do we got first?
What happens if it's something that has some been done previously?
We chuck the ones away that have been that have been pulled.
Okay.
What have we got?
We've got Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
Oh my God! It's a song driven by a very distinctive beat and a bass line, which we want to be inspired by but not copy.
So let's also have a listen to what's going on in the songwriting.
Desecrate you. You let me penetrate you. You let me complicate you. Help me, I broke apart my insides. Help me, I've got no soul to sell. Help me, the only thing that works for me. Help me get away from myself. I wanna fuck you like an animal. I wanna feel you from the inside. I wanna fuck you like an animal. My whole existence is flawed. You get me closer to God.
So yeah. Wow,
but it's, I mean, but yeah, I mean, all those verses, you know, it's kind of got, it's in common with like electronic music and hip hop and yeah. stuff, in that you know, entire verses are all just based around a single riff.
Yeah. So and you go boom, bam, bam,
yeah.
Doodle-da-ba. Oh, I wanna fuck you like an animal. So it goes up here. I want a doobie from the inside.
You want a doobie from the inside.
I want to tussle like an animal. And then it goes, because then when it goes, you get me closer to God. So it's almost like it's almost like minor, and then that's the kind of, and then it goes to the major when it comes back in, and then you can't have them back to minor there. So it's fairly simple. So where do you,
yeah, I mean, I reckon the idea of just having like a really simple little riff.
Yep.
You know, based around. Like,
I love it. We've got guitars. We pulled out like a full electro song.
I know. Yeah, it's funny, right?
So how about we start this track by we'll get together like a four on the floor kick
yeah,
and
maybe
snare.
Yeah, start with the beat and.
And then we'll get some kind of
something over the
some
top.
Wah, wah bass line.
And then Kevin, I'll get you to improvise some lyrics over the top. Sound good?
Let's do it.
Last night I woke to the pain. As my teeth recoil away from my tongue, having just bitten hard into it. As if trying to escape the scene, but I knew as the blood pooled, what had happened. I knew.
Amazing. So we've got our verse together. We've got our first verse. We've dived deep down into the world of Nine Inch Nails, which, as Studio Cat enlightened us, the song is, even though they do say the words famously, "I want to fuck you like an animal."
Well, there are interpretations, aren't
there?
Yes.
But the song is meant to be about, you know, self-hatred, and obviously he famously went deep into drug addiction at that point in time. So there's all that kind of self-loathing stuff going on. What you kind of come up with there, Kev, is amazing, with it's kind of like you feel like you're lost in the moment, in the night.
Which is kind of where you get to in that song. It's like a lost in the night kind of song. And that's where I feel where your lyrics are coming from there, which is sounding super cool. But now we're going to throw a big old spanner in the works.
Okay.
And we are going to draw name number two. So we've got our verse, which is Nine Inch Nails closer. And now we are going to reach back into the pink bicycle helmet of song. And we are going to find out what our chorus is going to be, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's
have a look in
here. We fucking go. Well, it can't get any weirder than closer to Nine Inch Nails, right?
Oh, it probably can.
Oh, shit. Immigrant Song, Led Zeppelin.
Holy fuckball.
Really good. let's have a listen, because I'm really unfamiliar with Led Zeppelin.
Well, I am very familiar with Led Zeppelin because I was, you know, a long-haired teenager at some point in time in my life. In fact, I think Led Zeppelin, I don't think of Led Zeppelin as a heavy metal band, but every teenager surely had, you know, guy who played guitar had a heavy metal stage. What were some of your heavy metal?
I was really into Kiss. So that was my idea of like a heavy rock band,
which is like heavy rock.
Yeah.
It is totally.
But I just loved Kiss, and so did my brothers, you know, and we all had the masks and everything. We were totally, you know, right into it. But I was aware of stuff like my older brother got into heavier music, Brett, the drummer from Jebs, and you know, he got into like a little bit of like Iron Maiden and stuff like that.
Yeah, right. I could imagine him in Iron Maiden.
Yeah. But then I got into grunge and, you know, it was Nirvana. I mean, Soundgarden are probably the heaviest
kind of band. They're like straight out of the Led Zeppelin songbook, those guys.
You know,
they had the same kind of experimental guitar stuff going on and obviously the high vocals.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chris Cornell, may he rest in peace, would have smashed this song.
The land of the ice and snow, from the midnight sun where the hot springs flow. The hammer of the gods will drive our ships to new lands, to fight the horde and sing and cry. Oh, Valhalla, I am coming. On we sweep with flashing arms, our only goal be the western shore.
I would listen to this podcast just to hear you and me like trying to sing like Robert. Studio Cat, do you want to step over to the microphone and give it, like, enlighten us with some musical facts about the Immigrant Song? Because there must be so much frickin' mythology with this bad boy.
Yes, well, the lyrics are based on Norse mythology, which is the body of myths of North Germanic peoples stemming from Norse paganism. Continuing, it goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's deep in myth and all of those Scandinavian Germanic myths are...
I love me a myth. I do.
They also wrote the song during their tour of Iceland. So we weren't being pompous. We did come from the land of the ice and snow. We were guests of the Icelandic government on a cultural mission. We were invited to play a concert in Reykjavik. And the day before we arrived, all of the civil servants went on strike and the gig was going to be cancelled. The university prepared a concert hall for us and it was phenomenal. The response from the kids was remarkable and we had a great time. Immigrant Song was about that trip and it was the opening track on the album that was intended to be incredibly different.
Wow. Well, the other thing that's definitely worth pointing out is the groove, which is a ding-ding-ding-ding-ding, which we can't really rip off straight up, but I think that... it's the counterweight of that riff and the So, my friend, we need to come up with some singable, slightly evil. Now, our song's in E at the moment,
I think going into a D might be cool.
Even though they're cool, I mean, look, we can take any part of this song on board and turn it into our chorus. Do we want to take any kind of mythology? I love the idea of mythology again, and I think that it's a really powerful concept that works really well in songwriting. Now, in your lyrics that you've got, you know, do you want to explain what they're about so far?
Yeah, well, last night I woke up in the middle of the night around 2 o'clock in the morning. I checked the time that it happened, but I basically just woke up with this sudden pain in my mouth and realized that I'd just bitten into my own tongue. And it was, you know, that kind of throbbing kind of pain, and just, you know, so obviously I was awake for a little while. It took me a little while to get back to sleep. But I mean, so yeah, that's what I started writing about with that verse, because, you know, we were talking about the self-hatred and pain and and it's just handy to draw upon something that's so fresh in my mind, because mm-hmm. it's just an easy go-to, yeah. you know.
But it's good, you know, obviously we love a metaphor in songwriting as well. So,
coming out of the idea of, you know, coming out of a dream, mm-hmm. you know, and
but what kind of mythology? I mean, I'd be really interested to kind of do some research on the internet of what kind of mythology is based around biting your tongue or biting one's tongue off. Or
if you are biting your tongue, it means the next thing you're going to say is going to be a lie.
Ooh, wow, cool. I like that.
Well, I was thinking while I was writing the verses, you know, of the next where it would go, and it was sort of occurred to me when I was telling when you first turned up here and you were setting up and I was telling you about what had happened last night. It occurred to me as I was telling you, it was like, oh well, that healed really fast. Like when it happened, it was really, really painful. But you know, by the time I woke up the next day, the pain had pretty much completely gone, and it felt like almost nothing had happened.
Wow.
So I'm wondering if maybe you could tie in the idea of, like, if, you know, the next statement being a lie, that, like, in the song, perhaps the idea that you wake up the next day and everything's fine is a lie. You know,
yeah.
Maybe that's not true.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just, you know, you're a defense mechanism to go, no, yeah. everything's fine. I'm good.
Well, even that as a lie, like, everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We've got some chorus lyrics together, Led Zeppelin-esque, and Kev is going to lay it on down the line in his best Robert Plant voice. You ready? On 1, 2... 3, 4.
I don't even try. Everything's fine. Now I'm calling to the sister of the moon.
You're calling.
I'm dancing with the sister of the moon.
I told you I never got into Led Zeppelin.
Oh, man. I can hear that. But oh. Well, how are you feeling about that chorus at the moment?
Yeah. Well, I think it's definitely in the ballpark of the Led Zeppelin.
Canon. It definitely is. So what I'd like to do now is try and mesh these two bits together. We've got a verse and a chorus. Do you remember your melody for your...
I don't.
Well, luckily we have the amazing wonders technology. We can go back and have a listen. But we're going to try and sing our verse and chorus into each other.
Okay.
So I'll have it all ready to go so you can, you know, sing your verse and your chorus. And it'll be interesting to see how this, like, whether we need to change anything, whether we got the right chords going on. But stick with us and let's give it a go.
Last night I walked to the pine as my teeth recoiled away from my tongue, having just bitten hard into air as if trying to escape the same. But I know as the blood poured, when it happened, I know.
On the beat, and a 1, 2, 3, four. That's awesome.
Nice rap cameo.
Yeah, that's what I do. Freestyle, temple-y, they call me. That's sounding amazing and really magical. Like, it's taking me to someplace. I love the two bits. I feel like there is like a clunkiness going straight from our verse into our chorus. So we might need to write some kind of maybe very short pre-chorusy kind of thing that happens there.
Yeah.
But what I would like to do now is, if I may, I'd like to pull the veil away from this song. I mean, we've gone to Nine Inch Nails town. We've ventured
Nine Inch Nails and Led Zeppelin. I mean, we've gone to two places that I never go. Never go. I mean, I don't own a single record by either of those bands. I don't have any songs of theirs on my iTunes. They're both. It's very unfamiliar territory. So.
But it's kind of magical because it's taking you to this kind of weird, dark and evil place, which I love. I would love now to hear what it sounds like if we sat down and we were like, okay, cool, we're going to record a Bob Evans song or a Jebediah song. Mm. How would you perform it? How would you record it? I'd love to hear you come back and have a go at that. Well, how does that sound? Are you up for it?
So I've got to basically reinterpret that song again. Through the Bob Evans.
We can keep any of the elements that are there that, you know, you might go, you know what, I really like that drum sound. I like that weird bass sound. Or you might just go, you know what, it's going to be a piano song. It's going to be a guitar song. It's totally up to you.
Well, I really like the idea of a drum loop.
Yep.
Playing acoustic guitar to a drum loop. I really like that idea. Mm-hmm. So that would be definitely a good place to start.
So we'll keep that factor.
Yeah.
The weird bass line. That might be it. That might have to go. But yeah, let's come back and hear what it sounds like with you doing it as a Bob Evans song.
Cool.
Thank you. as my teeth recoiled away from my tongue, having just bitten hard into the flesh, as if trying to escape the sin.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of our podcast. That is another Hat Jam, another day, and another amazing song that was written. Before we wrap up completely, do you want to talk the peeps at home through how we got to that amazing final result? I mean, it doesn't really sound like Nine Inch Nails, and it doesn't really sound like Led Zeppelin. In fact, it kind of sounds like Elbow, which is we started talking about.
Yeah, which is cool. I mean, I guess that was kind of in my mind, but it's funny because, you know, I guess you find what you know and apply it to the process. I mean, definitely, that sort of machine-like quality of Nine Inch Nails remained through.
Just that sort of drum,
the feel of the drums, and even, you know, the way that we were sort of, you know, treating the guitar, that like, ding, 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 you know, had that. So, it had that kind of industrial kind of quality to it. Which, yeah, I mean, there's Elbow stuff that does that and Radiohead and all that kind of stuff. And
absolutely.
As for the Led Zeppelin chorus thing, I mean, I think really all that kind
gave us a long vowel that we could go,
that's right, yeah. Well, it just, I guess it, what it did is it prompted us to kind of open up.
Yeah.
You know, go from like a very kind of staccato feel verse and open up into a long, you know, which is what the song really required. But you know, again, it's like, it's following through a process, you know, and also, you know, that thing of just allowing yourself, if you start worrying too soon about whether things are cool or not, it can kind of stymie your process. So yeah, I think sometimes when you're doing an exercise like this, I think, yeah, for the sake of the exercise, you just follow it through. And then, yeah, eventually we got to a point where it's like, okay, well, yeah, what can we do with it now? But
how did you find the experience? Was it daunting, scary, frustrating?
It was none of those things. Yeah, it was fun. You know, I think it was good because I never do stuff like this. So I think it was, I enjoyed just kind of getting out of my routine, getting out of my own, you know, sense of routine and out of my own head in a way, and just following a process and applying stuff to a process is something I never do. And that's why I guess I didn't find it daunting or scary at all, because it was just like there was this thing to kind of just follow through.
To keep us on track. Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. And I guess you just never, you can never predict what the outcome is going to be. And also, too, I love the idea of committing to finishing a song by the end of the day, which is something I never do. It takes me, I've got songs that I've been working on for years that I still haven't finished, you know. And the fact that I can write lyrics and a vocal to a song in the space of a few hours proves to myself that I'm being very lazy.
Yeah. So does something relevant have to happen in the project that you're working on to pull one of those songs out to go, oh, I found a home for this song?
Yeah, or is it? Maybe. But I think there's a real risk. And this, again, this exercise kind of illustrates this. There's a real risk that if you sit on something for too long, if you wait too long, I think it just gets harder and harder to find your way in.
The old
you
unsent know, letter.
You have to really pounce. You kind of have to pounce on stuff straight away, you know, and that's what I'm definitely take away from this as well. Just a reminder to, like, when I start writing a song, like, knuckle down, sit down, finish it, start working on the lyrics straight away. Don't just kind of leave them to think, I'll get to the lyrics later, because, you know, that's the hard bit, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of another amazing episode of Hat Jam. Before we go, Kevin Mitchell, a.k.a. Bob Evans, would you like to plug your pluggables? If people want to find you on the internet, where do they find you?
Well, on all the usual channels, Bob Evans on Instagram. I don't use Instagram much. I'm trying to use it a little bit more, but I'm mostly active on Twitter, as Bob Evans.
So if people want to contact you, send you a message on Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, both easy to find. Very easy. If you know how to use the internet, I'm sure you will be able to find me.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I was Cav Templey. This was Kevin Mitchell. It was my absolute pleasure to bring you some new tunes and some interesting way to look at songwriting. This was Hat Jam. Until the next episode, we'll see you then. Thank you very much. If you're interested in hearing more about any of the artists on Hat Jam, then please head to our Facebook page, Instagram, or website and follow the links.
You can find Cav Templey on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, @CavTempley, or www.cavtempley.com.au, or follow us directly on @HatJam_podcast. This has been a Templey production.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.